A little Sunday school lesson for you here this morning. I give you a little bit of history of these Samaritans in case you're a little fuzzy on it. It really starts out in 1 Kings 12. Because in 1 Kings 12 is where the nation split. At first Israel was one nation, but it was made up of 12 tribes. And it started out a lot like our own country did with these 13 loosely connected colonies that formed a very weak central national government, and most of the power was in the hands of the colonies, in the hands of the states. But as time went on, they developed a stronger central government, particularly when they instituted a king at the time of Saul. That was about 400 years later. Our country got a stronger national government faster than that. But so it went through Saul, went through David, went through Solomon, but because of Solomon's creating idols to worship false gods for his foreign wives. He didn't worship them himself, but still he allowed the worship into his land. The Lord said he was going to tear 10 of the tribes away from the family of David and give them to another. And that's what happens in 1 Kings 12. Here Solomon's son Rehoboam, 1 Kings 12:1, went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. See, Solomon had found out that Jeroboam was planning a revolt, and so he tried to kill him, and Jeroboam had to flee to Egypt. So that they sent and called him. So the Israelites called Jeroboam back. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. So in other words, lower the levy, and we'll serve you. He said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. So they say, Give them what they want now, and they'll serve you, and then you can do whatever you want, but just pacify them now. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people, who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? You understand, these young men, he's about 40. So these young men are not super young. Still, they're younger than the old counselors. So what counsel do they give? And the young men that were growing up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So their advice basically is, don't show weakness. If you show weakness, they'll walk all over you. Be strong, be tough. Show them a strong front. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day as the king had appointed, saying, Come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. A scorpion was a nastier kind of whip. So wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying which the Lord spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. So at this point, the nation of Israel was divided. It was divided into this northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And the dominant tribe generally in Israel was the tribe of Ephraim. It was the large, important tribe in the north. Judah was the large important tribe in the south, although Judah also had Benjamin and later on most of the tribe of Levi. So these were the two nations of Israel, and this was a breach that was never necessarily healed all the way. Now there were always Jews from all 12 tribes in Judah, because they fled there when the northern kingdom stopped worshiping God faithfully. The faithful ones in the other tribes went to Judah. So Judah really had members of all 12 tribes in it. It was just which tribal governments were there and which weren't. So all the way through, and certainly into the New Testament, there are all 12 tribes represented in Judah and in Galilee. But this breach led to a division of these two nations that was never restored as long as they existed as autonomous nations until they were carried away in the captivity. But then in 2 Kings chapter 17, we have the next step. And that was that we know that both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were carried away into captivity. But they were carried away separately. The northern kingdom was carried away by the Assyrian Empire. And the southern kingdom, over 100 years later, by the Babylonian Empire. Now the Assyrians were the ones who did this kind of shell game with the people and would transfer them around from one nation to another. And in 2 Kings 17:1, it says, "In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria. And Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. Now, since 1 Kings where they split, Samaria had become the capital city of the northern kingdom. It was built by Omri, the father of Ahab, which was part of the third dynasty in the northern kingdom. So he besieged the capital city. And in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria, and placed them in Hela and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes." So notice this. They were in the cities of Hela and Habor and in the cities of the Medes near Persia. So when Judah was carried away captive into Babylon and Persia, they just joined their brothers from the northern kingdom. And they both ended up in the same captivity. You know, there are some, like the Mormons and other people, have these crazy ideas about them moving to America and forming a tribe here or something like that. But no, they were just joined by the southern kingdom in captivity later on. So it says, "For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city." So these were those high places up on the mountain where they would worship. Now they didn't always worship the Lord there. Often they would worship idols there. But that was always a contention between the Lord and them. Even when they would worship him on those high places, that wasn't how they were supposed to do it. "And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And they burned incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, Ye shall not do this thing. Yea, the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by the prophets and by all the Caesars, saying, Turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the necks of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God." So it goes on and explains to us about their sin and why the Lord had them carried away. But let's skip down to verse 24. And that's where the king of Assyria finishes this, like I said, kind of the shell game where he scrambles one nation to another. Verse 24, it says, "And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, and from Cutha, and from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, Carry thither one of the priests, whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the manner of the God of the land. Now understand that these priests in the northern kingdom were the wicked priests who led Israel astray in the first place. So he says, take one of their priests and he'll teach them how to serve the God of the land. Well, no, he wouldn't. He didn't know how himself. But that's what the king of Assyria thought, and it made sense to him. He didn't know any better. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Beth-El and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Well, good luck there. He didn't know himself. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burnt their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Anamelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods, after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinances, or after the law and commandments which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. So basically, this priest taught them to do just what the northern kingdom had done. What was that? Well, to serve God and to serve their own gods. To set up idols in the high places and serve them one day and then serve the Lord the next. So serve the Lord and serve your own gods. Do both. That's exactly what the northern kingdom had done, and that's just what a priest from the northern kingdom taught these newly transplanted people to do. So that was how this mixed up religion in this northern kingdom really came about. Now in Ezra chapter 4, we see when there was always enmity between the northern and southern kingdom, but here is where the enmity between this new breed of Samaritans and the Jews really comes about. Ezra is all about the rebuilding of the temple after the people were returned to the land. Now understand, when Babylon carried Judah away, they didn't do the shell game. They carried Judah away and the land pretty much sat empty the whole time Judah was gone. So when they came back, it was kind of overgrown. It had turned back into wilderness. If suddenly we all left the United States for 70 years, we'd come back and it would be gone back to a lot like it was when the first colonists arrived. It's amazing how fast this stuff takes over. But they came back, the land was empty, and they started to rebuild the temple. So they didn't have these new inhabitants to deal with like they did in Samaria. But chapter 4 we read of Ezra. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah, and he was descended from the Davidic kings. Although he never became a king himself, he was always subject to Persia, which had taken over from Babylonia. So they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, or Assyria, which brought us up hither. So they say, hey, we've been worshiping your God ever since we were brought here by the king of Assyria. So we went in on building his temple too. So these were these Samaritans, the ones that the king of Assyria had transplanted into the land. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua, that was Joshua the high priest, and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, You have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. So they said, You Samaritans, you don't have anything to do with this temple. You don't have anything to do with building it. We're going to do it ourselves. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So they work against them and try to frustrate their efforts to build the temple throughout the reign of Cyrus. Now when Cyrus is off the throne and Darius takes over, now they see their chance. Verse 6, And in the reign of Ahasuerus, that's another name for Darius, these are all titles, not really names, in the reign of Ahasuerus, the venerable king, that's what that means, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes, another name for him, wrote Bishlam, Mithridath, Tabeel, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Now, if we were reading the original manuscript, we'd see it switches languages here to Aramaic. Of course, we're reading the English translation, so we don't notice the difference. So they say, Rehum the chancellor and Shimshai the scribe wrote a letter unto Jerusalem to Artaxerxes the king in this sort. Then wrote Rehum the chancellor and Shimshai the scribe and the rest of their companions, the Diniites, the Pharsathites, the Tarpalites, the Apharsites, the Archivites, the Babylonians, the Susanchites, the Dehavites, and the Elamites, and the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Asnapper brought over and set in the cities of Samaria, and the rest that are on this side of the river and at such a time. So how do they introduce themselves? They introduce themselves as the descendants of all these nations who the king of Assyria had brought into the cities of Samaria. So they're writing to the king of Persia and trying to get him to stop the building of the temple. They basically lie to him about the building of the temple, and he believes them and stops the building of the temple for a time. But you see here, that right here we have this hostility that develops between these transplanted foreigners now living in the land of Israel and the people of Judah. And see, that hostility lasted for over 400 years or 500 years or so till the time of Jesus Christ and the time of that story of the Samaritan woman we get in John chapter 4. So this was a long-standing conflict. They were long-standing enemies going way back, and we see how this developed. And in many of these cases, I mean, we do see that the northern kingdom was in the wrong. And yet, the time of Christ, particularly when Acts rolls around, God is willing to accept even these Samaritans back into the fold as Israelites. Yeah. Okay, praying close. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the things that we've studied this morning. Your word truly is a precious thing. It gives us access to you. It is your written word, just as Christ was the living word. And even though we can't come to Christ and invite him into our city as the inhabitants of Sychar did, we can take your word and bring that into our lives, incorporate it into our lives, read it and study it and know it and get to know you through the things you've written for us. What a precious privilege that is. We thank you for the things that it teaches us about you. I ask that you'll help us to learn some of these lessons from John 4, that we will have an attitude like the disciples, that what you do is right, that we will remember that the way we worship you is not by going to a place, not even by coming here to this church, but that true worship always takes place in our spirits and takes place in truth. Help us to remember that. Help us to live that in our lives. Help us to be like these Samaritans, to not believe because of what someone else told us or someone else's testimony, but to be in your word, studying your word, and to believe because we've met you ourselves and we know you ourselves, like these Samaritans did. Thank you for the precious lessons that we can read about and we can learn from every chapter of your book. Help us to be always learning and always growing in faith and in understanding and knowledge of you, because that's really the goal of all these things, not just to increase knowledge, but to know you and to understand you. And I ask that you help us to do that more and more every day. Thank you for your power that's with us and your grace that sustains us, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.